We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Yeah, that game was so awesome last night. Yeah, I know. That was amazing. I didn't even think they would win. Like, the last 5 seconds, they did that three-pointer. That was pretty awesome. Hold on a second. I think I'm getting another call. Hello?
Take one step to the left.
Who is this?
This is God. Now take one
step. How do I know this is God?
Check the caller ID. This is God. Take one step.
No, I'm not buying this. No, I'm not buying this. Do you have an angel around that you can put on the phone?
Why? Why do you want that?
To prove that you're God.
Okay, let me go find someone.
Hello? This is Gabriel, the archangel.
You don't sound like an angel. Put God back on. Do you have any trustworthy references?
Can I fax you some paperwork?
No. Faxes are so 1997. What about a burning bush? Yeah, a burning bush. How about do that?
We don't have time for this. Listen.
I can't hear you. Can
take
you,
a step.
Can you louder?
Take one step to the
you.
Left.
Hello?
There's a train Hello? Coming.
Hello and welcome. It is good to see you all in the house of God today, especially John Corley. My name is Marshall Blessing. It is a pleasure to have fellowship with all of you. In case you missed last week, if you weren't here for Friends Day, we are doing a series all about being safe around trains. No, I'm sorry, I got confused with the video. We're talking about dumb ways to die. We're doing this series because we want to help you avoid dying in a dumb way. We care about you. We love you. We want to bless your life. So we want to help you to avoid some of these dumb ways to die. Over the years, my dad gave me lots of advice. Some of it stuck with me over the years. Stay centered. Red means stop. Green means go. Yellow light means go faster. That one helped me a lot when I moved to Texas. But one of the things he said that really stuck with me and comes to mind often is below average people don't learn from their mistakes. Average people learn from their mistakes. Above average people learn from other people's mistakes. And so that's sort of our thinking behind this series. We're not trying to poke fun at tragedy or make fun of the unfortunate ways that some people died, but we want to learn from them and apply that to our life to avoid the mistakes that they make. The Bible was given to us to educate us. It is many things, among which the Bible is a history book. It records the history of the nation of Israel. And throughout that history, a lot of people died. And some of them died in some very dumb ways. So let's try briefly a little audience participation. Let's see who's awake today. Can anybody name somebody from the Bible who died in a dumb way? Just shout it out. Sisera, excellent. Tent peg to the head. Yes, very good. Last week, Chris talked about Abner. The Bible's full of people that died in dumb ways. Korah, or Noah's neighbors. He's building a huge boat. It starts to rain. Figure it out, you guys. There is a lot to talk about when it comes to dumb ways to die in the Bible. There's so much. We might have to come back and revisit it for a Connect Group series. But we wanted to hit it hard. We had to divide it up into categories. So last week, Pastor Chris talked about trusting in the wrong people. That can lead to a dumb way to die. If you weren't here for last week, I encourage you to check it out online. Watch the sermon video. It was awesome. Chris talked about the Darwin Awards. If you're not familiar, these are awards given to people that die in dumb ways. And you may or may not be surprised how many of them their last words are, trust me. It just goes to show you, trusting in the wrong people can lead to a dumb way to die. Right. If you're doing something, if you're involved in something that you're not sure about, that doesn't seem safe, and the person there with you says, oh, trust me, run. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
So trusting in the wrong people can lead to a dumb way to die. Well, there's a flip side to that that I'm going to talk about this week. That's not trusting in the right people. We live in the information age. Everybody has the internet at their fingertips at all hours, on their smartphone, on their computer, everywhere you go. Information inundates us. You can find opinions, you can find any opinion about any subject if you look. The Cowboys are great. The Cowboys are terrible. President Obama is great. President Obama is terrible. Toothpaste is great. Toothpaste is terrible. It's all out there and everything in between if you look. I mean, I think that's what the internet's for. So you have to be careful about what you listen to and what you believe. It's safer to be skeptical of everything. It seems like you're almost better off not believing anything. There's so much information out there, and so much of it isn't true. It seems like you'd be better off just not believing, not trusting anything. If you remember the old TV show, The X-Files, their slogan was, trust no one. Personally, if we're going to touch on slogans, I prefer trust but verify, but that's my personal opinion. Recently, my wife got a book from a book swap. It seemed like a perfectly legitimate book. It had a cover and everything. It seemed great. Well, this book was written on the subject of medical secrets that they don't want you to know about. And I'm not exactly sure who they was, like doctors or the medical establishment. But among these secrets that have been held back from you, sunscreen gives you cancer. Now, that just goes to show you how much information's out there. People can make a living just giving out information that's nonsense. And you can be skeptical, but be wise about it. We're inundated with so much information, you have to really think about what you're going to believe. If you decide, you know what? I'm not going to believe the medical establishment. They're just trying to sell me sunscreen to give me cancer. I don't know why they want to do that. If you believe that, then you're trusting the guy who wrote the book. See, the truth of it is, you're going to trust somebody. You may try to be skeptical as possible, but you're going to trust somebody. If you don't trust sunscreen, then you're going to trust this author who turned out to be a convicted felon, and I'm pretty sure he's been banned from ever writing any books on medical subjects ever again. You're going to trust something. You're going to trust someone. Even if you don't trust anyone else in the whole world, if you are the most skeptical person in the world, I don't need anybody. I don't need any help from anybody. I don't need any advice. I'm smart enough. I can figure it out. I'm strong enough. I can do it myself. I don't need to trust anybody. You're going to trust yourself. You're still trusting somebody. You are going to trust somebody, and you need to be careful about who you trust. Because if you don't trust the right people, you will trust the wrong people, all right? And that can lead to a dumb way to die. There are people in your life who love you. There are people in your life who care about you, who want to help you. These are the people you should listen to. As Pastor Chris mentioned last week, there is an enemy that's out to harm you. There are people that are trying to take advantage of you, and they're going to tell you things that aren't right, but there are people that care about you. There are people with good advice. You need to find them and listen to them. Now, not everyone is trustworthy, but if people are speaking from experience, that's a good sign that you maybe should at least consider what they have to say. If they're telling you something that you kind of know to be true, but it's really hard and you don't, it's tough, that's a good sign that you ought to listen to them. Consider what they have to say. You don't have to just accept it out of hand, but at least listen to them. Hear them out. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." There's nothing wrong with seeking out wise counsel, as long as it's wise counsel. Listen to people who care about you, that have good, wise advice for you. There's doctors, teachers, family members, friends. At least listen to what they have to say. For those of you out there who are parents, how many times have you said to yourself, I told my child this would happen. I just wish they would have listened to me. Right? I just wish they would have listened. Or how many of you have given advice to a friend? Your friend was in trouble, and you gave them some advice. And if they would have taken your advice, they would have solved their problem months ago, but they just won't listen to what you're telling them. Well, don't let that be you. When other people give you good advice, listen to it, consider it, test everything, and hold on to what is good. I'll be honest with you, I don't like going to the doctor. It's not that I don't trust doctors. I don't know, it's somewhat of a pride issue. I trust myself more, and I'd like to try and tough it out and figure it out and get better on my own if I can. If you're really sick, don't do that. You need to trust in the right people. You need to trust in doctors to give you the medicine you need. If a doctor gives you really bad news, I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to listen to that. Listen to them. You can go get a second opinion, but you need to trust in the right people, because if you don't, that can lead to a dumb way to die. If you don't trust in the right people, you will trust in the wrong people. But really, who are the right people? At times, anybody can let you down. At times, anybody can fail you. I'm the care pastor here at Redemption Church. If you have a problem and you'd like to talk about it, I would be glad to talk with you. I can give you my best advice, but sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I misunderstand. Sometimes I will give you bad advice, not on purpose, but just because I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Well, God's perfect. You can always trust in God. Amen? You can always trust in God's word. You can always trust in Jesus. You can always trust his love for you. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true." You can trust in God. If you don't trust God, you will end up trusting the wrong people, and it will lead to a dumb way to die. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. The Israelites had gotten out of Egypt and were wandering through the promised land, through the wilderness, for 40 years, trying to get to the promised land. So after 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, they get to the border of this land that God had promised them for centuries, all the way back to Abraham. Here it was. This was their land. This was the land flowing with milk and honey that God was going to give to them. And so they said, okay, well, let's check it out. So they sent some men into the land, and they looked around and came back, and they said, all but two of them said, No, this isn't going to work. There's people in there. And they're big and they're strong and we can't take them. They've already got that land. We can't come in and take it. They'll kill us. They didn't trust God. Instead, they trusted the report of the spies. If you don't trust in God, you will end up trusting the wrong people. Even though God had prepared this for them for centuries, they didn't trust that he was going to come through for them in the end. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 32 through 34, Moses is saying to them, in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors. Because they didn't trust in God, an entire generation died in the wilderness. They didn't enter the promised land, and instead they had to wander through the wilderness for another 40 years. God wanted to bless them, but they wouldn't receive it because they didn't trust in him. And sadly, we can make the same mistake when we don't trust in God's word, when we don't trust in what he calls us to. Our memory verse for this month is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. We read it earlier today. Let's take a look at it again. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God sets before us the choice between life and death. We can listen to his commands. We can obey them and live abundantly. Or we can reject them and reject the blessings that he has for us. God is trustworthy. He is worthy of your trust. Choosing to die in the wilderness instead of entering the land God had promised is dumb. That was a dumb way to die. The people chose, we'd rather go back to the wilderness because we think we're safer there and we believe what these guys say more than what we believe God says. He told us he would drive out the people of this land before us. Well, man, I don't know. We only saw him like do what, 10 plagues to the Egyptians? What if that's not enough here? They didn't trust in God, and instead they chose the wilderness instead. And so that whole generation died in the wilderness. That's dumb. That was a dumb choice. But it doesn't exactly fit into our series because we're talking about dumb ways to die, not dumb choices that get you there. So, let me tell you a little bit more specifically about how some of them died, because that was pretty dumb too. They were wandering in the wilderness, and as they did so, they went back to their favorite hobby, which was complaining about Moses and complaining about God. God was providing them manna from heaven to eat, and they were saying, oh, this is gross, it's boring. God, you're terrible. And then, all of a sudden, they were attacked by snakes. It's the wilderness. Snakes happen. They get attacked by snakes, and the people get bitten, and they're suffering. And they're in pain, and they're slowly dying. And so they call out to God. Oh, hey, God, we love you. Hey, Moses, pray to God for us to save us. We're dying. And so, in Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. and anyone who is bitten may look at it and live. All right? And so, Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, and when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Are you getting what's happening here? God told Moses to make a snake out of bronze and put it up on a pole so everyone could see it. And anyone who was dying from the snake bite, all they had to do was look at this snake on a pole and they would be healed. Well, the crazy thing is that some people still died. God gave them the cure, and it was a pretty easy cure. All you have to do is look, move your eyeballs, and yet some of them still died. That's kind of dumb. Sometimes God gives us the solution to our problems, but we don't trust Him because the solution He gives us is unexpected. To trust is to have faith. In the Old Testament, the word that they use for faith is the same word as to trust. To have trust in, to have faith in. In the New Testament, the word that we translate to mean believe in is the same word that we translate as trust. Sometimes the solution God gives us is so unexpected that we refuse to believe it. God demonstrates strength through our weakness. Sometimes God presents miracles as something ridiculous, something unbelievable, something we can't really understand. If you think back to the story of Joshua and Jericho, God told him, "All right, I want you to march around this city once a day for 7 days and blow a trumpet, and I'm going to deliver this city into your hand." That's a very unusual way to fight a war. And yet it worked. God did what He said. The walls fell. Naaman was a general who had leprosy. And he went to Elijah for a cure. And Elijah sent word to him that he should wash himself in the Jordan River and he would be cured of his leprosy. Well, even back then, the Jordan wasn't a very nice river. It was kind of yucky. Naaman didn't believe it. All I have to do is wash myself in this river. No, I want a miracle. I want to see something powerful and miraculous. Until his servant convinced him, well, you might as well give it a try. And when he did, he was cured. Moses told the people of Israel to look at the snake and be cured. And some didn't believe it and died. Sometimes when God answers our prayers, the solution seems strange. It can seem silly. But if we reject it, then we miss out. The Bible says when you are sick, you should have the elders of the church pray over you. That comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 14. How many of us have done this? I haven't, and I've been sick. It seems silly, and it can seem kind of embarrassing to, hey, you guys, I need you to get the elders of the church together, and I need you to pray over me because I'm sick. Well, I don't care if it's silly or embarrassing. Do you believe what the Bible says is true? Do you believe God's word? Sometimes we miss out on the solutions that God has for us because they seem weird, like a snake on a pole. But I can't imagine that the Israelites who died of snake bites, that every single one of them refused, actively refused to look at the snake on a pole. They had seen the plagues. They had seen Moses part the Red Sea. They had seen God provide manna from heaven. They had seen water come out of a rock. They had seen God go before them in a pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. And now Moses, the guy who talked to God so much that his face glowed, told them, hey, you guys, look at this snake and it will cure your snake bites. I can't imagine that they said, no, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't see how that follows. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to look at that. I don't believe it. Some of them may not have believed it, but I believe there were some who just didn't get the chance. Because think about the situation. People are getting bitten by these snakes. Their family or their friends probably took them into a tent and tried to make them comfortable as best they could. And then Moses makes this snake on a pole, and all you have to do is look at it. But there were some people in tents who couldn't see it. And their family and friends didn't think or didn't believe, oh, hey, I should go get my friend and get him out here so they can see this. Hey, I heard Moses has a snake on a pole. I don't have time for that. I'm trying to take care of my uncle. He's dying from the snake bite. I believe that some people didn't get the chance to be cured because their family and friends didn't believe. They died in an unfortunate and dumb way because the people around them didn't trust in God. Are there people around you who are suffering and need to hear about the salvation that God has provided? Are there people you need to tell? To trust is to have faith. We can trust in God. We can have faith in God. If you remember the story of the man who was lowered through the roof to get to Jesus, the paralyzed man, they couldn't get through the crowd around Jesus, so they went up on the roof and cut a hole and lowered the man down into the room in front of Jesus. Jesus looked at the faith of his friends, the men lowering him down, and forgave and healed the paralyzed man. That's a scary thought. Jesus looked at his friend's faith and healed that man. God sets before us life and death, blessings and curses. But what if it's not our life and death he's talking about? Others are counting on us to share this life with them so that they can avoid dying. But we have to have faith in God. Your faith can save other people. But if you don't trust in God, there might be people around you that die in a dumb way. God calls us to share his good news. Sometimes he calls us to share the gospel in a situation that's kind of awkward. Sometimes he calls us to share it with people that we wouldn't normally talk to. In the book of Acts, there's a man named Ananias, and God sends word to him, I want you to go to a street called Straight, and there's a man staying there. His name is Saul. I want you to go and pray with him. He'll be expecting you. And Ananias said, whoa, God, I've heard this guy. He's killing everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. I don't think you want me to go and talk to him. And God said, no, I do want you to go talk to him. He's going to be my chosen instrument. And because Ananias had faith, because he trusted in God, in what God was calling him to do, he went and prayed, and Saul became Paul the apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament. He went and shared the good news, this life that Jesus offers us throughout the whole world. You have to trust in God. You have to trust that his word doesn't come back empty. There were people who died from the snake bites because no one told them about the cure. Now, in case you didn't realize it, the snake on a pole is sort of a reference, an allusion to Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament points to Jesus. The snake represents sin, right? From the garden. Jesus put our sin to death on the cross when he was lifted up. And by his death, we found the cure to sin. We received the eternal life that he offered. In fact, Jesus made reference to it directly when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." If you don't trust in Jesus, if you don't have faith in what he did for us on the cross, you're going to miss out on this eternal life, on this cure that he gives to our fallen condition. If you don't trust in Jesus, I invite you to receive him today. Because apart from Jesus, any death is dumb. Because you haven't received the salvation that God has already provided for you. And this was the case in what might be the dumbest death in the Bible, at least in my opinion. Judas Iscariot. Judas was called by Jesus. He walked beside him and listened to him throughout Jesus' ministry. Judas saw him walk on water. He saw him heal the sick and the blind. He saw Jesus feed the multitudes twice. He saw him raise the dead. And Judas was there firsthand to hear Jesus talk about forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness, over and over again, talking about God's mercy. I believe Judas died in an incredibly dumb way. And I'm not talking about suicide. Judas didn't trust in God. After all the time that he spent with Jesus, seeing God's mercy firsthand, he didn't trust that God could forgive him. So let me ask you, do you trust that God can do anything? This whole sermon is about trusting God. If you don't trust in God, it can lead to a dumb way to die. But we're all in church. You may be thinking to yourself, I trust in God. That's why I'm here. I already know all this. Well, let me tell you, this sermon is for you. Judas lived with Jesus. He studied under him for 3 years. But when things got bad, he still didn't trust. You may feel secure in your walk. You need to trust in God with all your heart. Because when things get bad, you need to know that God will be there for you. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Amen. Amen. You need to trust that God can do anything. You need to remember that God will always be with you, that God will always be willing to forgive you if you repent and reach out to him. Judas thought what he had done was so bad that he was beyond the reach of God's mercy. And I don't believe that was true. God is worthy of your trust. He is faithful to forgive you and bless you and be by your side no matter what you go through. We're about to open these altars. But before we do, let me ask you, is there an area of your life that you haven't trusted to God? If you really say you trust in God, do you trust him with everything? God is worthy of our trust. Let all men be liars. God is true. If you don't trust the right people, if you don't trust God, you will end up trusting the wrong people, and it will lead to a dumb way to die. Is there some area of your life that you're holding back, that you still don't really trust God about? Have you received Christ? Have you been baptized? If not, what are you waiting for? Is there anything you think God can't forgive? Maybe it's something that someone else did to you that you have trouble forgiving. Are you willing to trust God to help you lay that down? Who do you need to reach out to? Who in your life is suffering and needs you to show them the cure? There may be people in your life that you have already reached out to. There may be people who you have tried to share the gospel with who need Jesus, but they're unwilling to trust and receive it. You can pray for them. Don't give up. God is there for them too. Pray that God would touch their heart and that they would come to trust in the only thing that is trustworthy above all others. Some of you here today need to step out on faith and come to the altar and pray. You need to honestly open your heart to God. We open these altars every week, but if you generally just sit back and let this time go by, don't do that this week. Come, step out in faith. Trust that God is here for you today. If you want someone to pray with you, come within 2 feet of the steps. That lets us know that you would like someone to pray with you, and someone from the ministry team will come and pray with you. There's power in agreement. There's power in praying together. We would love to pray with you. Some of you need to trust in God and let others pray with you today. God has set before you life and death, blessings and curses. These altars are open. I encourage you to reach out to Him today. God is available to you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.